Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Last night I started talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And basically, I was just kind of trying to give an overview. I mean, in Genesis 1-2, the Holy Spirit was used to move upon the waters and start creation. And everything that God does, He does through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent that He uses to release His power. And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to the life of the believer. And last night, just tried to show that basically the Holy Spirit is not being emphasized in the church today. I think you could see that by the response. Out of 700 and something people that were here, we had 130 or more people that came forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's wonderful that that happened, but in a sense, it's sad that people who are born again and love God, many of them live their whole life and really don't have that much contact with the Holy Spirit. I used David as a positive example last night, how the Holy Spirit told him to drain his water pipes, you know, and because he did that when his heater went out, he didn't lose all of the, I mean, they didn't bust and it didn't destroy his home and cause a lot of damage. Well, he reminded me this morning of a negative example of not following the Holy Spirit. When Kmart tanked, the Lord told him to invest $50,000 in Kmart stock. And he called his broker, and his broker said, "No way, they filed for bankruptcy. This is a loser. Don't do it." And he didn't follow the Holy Spirit, and he lost $633,000 profit within the next few months as Kmart stock went through the roof. Again, John chapter 16, verse 13 says, "The Holy Spirit will show you things to come." You know, if we were to really draw on the power of the Holy Spirit, God will show you what's going to happen in the world economy. He'll show you which investment to do. He'll show you what business to be a part of. The Holy Spirit, if you follow, He will give you wisdom. You know, it's very similar if you were on a mountain road or on a hilly road and, you know, you're following somebody that's real slow and they've got the stripe that you can't pass in that lane. You know, if you were just depending on your perspective from where you are, you might never be able to pass that tractor or whatever that's slowing you down. But if you had somebody in a plane up above that could see over the hill and around the corner and could tell you what's coming, then you know what? You could do things that other people that don't have that perspective couldn't do. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit can see the end from the beginning. And He can tell you things, and there is just no reason for us to be experiencing so much difficulty in life if we were led by the Holy Spirit. And yet a lot of people just don't understand that the Holy Spirit is available, what He's wanting to do in our life. So last night I just tried to basically show that the Holy Spirit is the agent that God uses to do everything and that we ought to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit much, much more. Today, let's turn over to John chapter 20, and I want to deal with something that I think is really important. And that is that a lot of people, of course, the Bible, if you read the Bible at all, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit from Genesis 1-2 all the way to maps. I mean, the Holy Spirit is all the way through the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the book of Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. If you were to look up every time the word Holy Spirit is used in the book of Acts, it's nearly in every chapter multiple times. The Holy Spirit is just in the Word of God. There's no way to doubt this. And yet, it has been diluted and the impact of the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been decreased to a very large degree by a lot of religious teaching that has taught that when you got born again, you got all of the Holy Spirit that there is to get. And so it's already over and people just think, well, this is as good as it gets, and they aren't expecting anything more. I want to show you from a number of scriptures today that there is a separate encounter with the Holy Spirit from salvation. You don't instantly receive or automatically receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you get born again. The word baptism is a religious word. You know, literally, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. And the reason that they translated it baptism, they transliterated a word. They made up a word. Because at the time that the Bible was translated, the King James, the custom of the churches were to sprinkle. And it didn't fit their theology because the word baptizo means to immerse or submerge. And it would have been a major, major crisis in the body of Christ to translate that Jesus was baptized, submerged. He came up out of the water. And this would have destroyed their theology. And so, rather than say immerse, which would have been the literal translation, they just said baptize. And they made up a word, and it has become a religious word that in a sense is a code word that keeps you from understanding what it's really talking about. And it's persisted. Here we are hundreds of years later, and when you use the word baptize, that's a religious phrase to a lot of people. But when it talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's just talking about being immersed, completely submerged, overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we use the word baptized to refer to water baptism when you first get born again. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and then there is a baptism by Jesus into the Spirit. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there are the doctrines, or excuse me, it's Hebrews chapter 6, that there are doctrines, plural, of baptism. So when we're using the word baptism, this isn't just referring to water baptism, the initial evidence that you are born again and a commitment to the Lord and follow Him in water baptism. And it's not talking about being born again, baptized into the body of Christ. There is a third baptism that is talking about baptism by the Holy Spirit. And let me share some scriptures with you here in John chapter 20. This is when Jesus, of course, had risen from the dead. He had appeared to His disciples. And in John chapter 20, and let me, I'm going to drop down and then I'll come back up to some other verses. But in John chapter 20, He had first of all appeared to some of His disciples, and Thomas wasn't with them. So they told Thomas that Jesus was risen from the dead. And he says, I can't believe that. He says, unless I see with my eyes the print of the nails and thrust my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, Jesus, in verse 26, it says, after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said He to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now remember that Jesus had appeared 8 days before, but He hadn't seen any of these disciples or Thomas since then. And so the very fact that He just immediately addressed what Thomas had said showed that He was God, He was risen from the dead, He knew all things. And I guarantee you, it arrested Thomas. And so He told Thomas, He says, All right, put your finger into the print of the nails. Put your hand into my side. And look at this in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, My Lord and my God. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is one of the primo scriptures that explain what salvation is. It's not church attendance. It's not doing all of these things. It's believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and confessing Him as Lord. Here's Thomas saying, My Lord and my God. And the very fact that he was talking to Him post-resurrection shows that he believed He was alive from the dead. Any way you want to slice it, this is Thomas being born again right here. Thomas confessed Jesus as Lord. So here he is, born again. And anyway, there's some other great things that are said. But back up just a few verses. After Thomas was born again, and of course this is 8 days after the rest of the disciples had been born again and had confessed Jesus as their Lord, and believed in their heart that he was raised from the dead. Jesus had appeared unto them in verse 21. It says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so have I sent you." And in verse 22 it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." So they were already born again. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." And yet, look over on in my Bible, it's on the opposite page, Acts chapter 1. This is like 40 days later, 30 or 40 days later, right as he was being taken up into heaven. And here's what he said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So they had already been born again. He had already said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and breathed upon them. And here he is about a month later, right before he leaves the earth, saying, "Now wait until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." This is going to be the fulfillment of what John said about the one who comes after me baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he said in verse 6, it says, "When they were therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" There was a common belief in those days that when the Messiah came, the Old Testament scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 61, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the broken."
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, "Well, I've already heard what you've got to say," but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith, and we have Bible college students and people there praying. We see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place. And I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.